Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So the second week of the Bridgegate trial begins today, and like week one, it will probably not be boring. Week one most notably brought claims by both prosecution and defense that Governor Christie was more aware of the lane closures on the George Washington Bridge than he admitted. The prosecution says he knew specifically even while the closures were in place in September 2013, which there has been no evidence of yet, we should say, in fairness. It also cast the prosecution's star witness, former Port Authority executive David Wildstein, as a Christie operative working in the shadows to attain political endorsements for the governor and using the Port Authority services as a goodie bag for those who honored his requests. I believe Wildstein is back on the stand this morning. So joining me now to review and preview are WNYC senior editor for politics and policy, Andrea Bernstein, who was in the courtroom last week. And joining her is managing editor for New Jersey Public Radio, Nancy Solomon. Hi, Andrea. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Are either of you getting any word from the courtroom this morning? Any breaking news? I know Matt Katz is in there for us. Andrea, anything?
No, nothing yet. I mean, the way it works in the courtroom is you are not allowed to be online while the witnesses are on the stand and the judge is on the bench. So David Wildstein finished Friday afternoon testifying about just beginning to testify about his political work at the Port Authority. And it's expected that he will be on the stand all day today, maybe tomorrow, and maybe even Wednesday, because they got up to 2011. And as we know, the lane closures happened in 2013. So there's a lot more to hear from David Wildstein about how, from his perspective, the conspiracy to shut down the lanes was hatched and affected by the defendants, which is why the prosecutors have him on the stand.
And listeners, if you have any questions about the Bridgegate trial week one, Andrea Bernstein and Nancy Solomon have been covering Bridgegate since it happened, and Andrea's been half-time our person in the courtroom, Matt Katz the other half. Today's Matt's day, so Andrea knows what has gone on so far. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. It's hard sometimes, Nancy, to report on trials because there's so much testimony, and it's not like a journalistic interview live on the air or something like that. It's, you know, lawyers going through detail after detail and microfact after microfact to build bodies of evidence. So with all that, what would you say is the headline from week one?
That everything that has been reported about Bridgegate has been right on, that this was an enormous abuse of power scandal, and that the Christie administration was operating a political operation to launch his presidential bid from the very beginning of his first term, and that he was using assets of the two states, New York and New Jersey, using the Port Authority in the case of Bridgegate to gain political favor and political power. So, I mean, this is just, it's a tremendous story. And, you know, and I will say, of course, you mentioned, you know, the ups and downs that you go through in covering a trial. I mean, we're just hearing the prosecution's case now, and we, you know, the cross-examination of David Wildstein is going to be just as riveting as the prosecution's questioning of him, because, you know, they are going to really have us question whether or not we believe a word he's saying. So it's just a fascinating drama unfolding every day there in Newark.
Andrea, were you there when Wildstein described two qualities that he said were critical to politics, the dead-to-me gene and the insanity gene?
Yes, I was there. I mean, that was the prosecution reading an email that he had sent to Bridget Kelly. Now, Bridget Kelly is one of the defendants, and it came out during testimony on Friday that her father had actually at one point gone into interview with David Wildstein about a job at the Port Authority. And Bridget Kelly emailed Wildstein, "Don't hold my craziness against him." And Wildstein sent back the email, "Two things are essential in politics, the insanity gene and the dead to me gene." And then the prosecution said, "And that's true of everyone, including you." And he said, "Including me." So it's clear. I mean, think about it. He said that Bill Baroni, who is the former deputy director of the Port Authority and the other defendant, Wildstein said that Bill Baroni was one of his closest personal friends until 2014. So he must be now employing the dead to me gene, because he is up there on the stand testifying against Bill Baroni. They were so close, it came out in court. They had their own special language to describe things. For example, constituency of one, which referred to their only constituent at the Port Authority, was Governor Chris Christie. And then Bill Baroni had a term where he would tell David Wildstein to Wally things, and that refers to Wildstein's basically decade-long tenure of being a secret political blogger, in which his job was essentially to sort of dig up dirt on people in New Jersey politics. When Bill Baroni wanted him to do that at the Port Authority, dig up dirt on people, he would say, "Go Wally this."
Bernadette,
and can I?
Yeah, Nancy, go ahead. Sure. Yes.
The Wally reference is that David Wildstein's name, he was anonymous, and the name that he used is Wally Edge. Wally Edge was a former governor back, I can't remember now, but back from like the 1920s or 30s in New Jersey. Hmm. And so that was Wildstein's nom de plume. And so... you know, to Wally something was connected to Wally Edge. By the way, the portrait of Wally Edge, every governor has a portrait in the State House. Governor Christie moved the portrait of Wally Edge into his inner office.
Bernadette in Brooklyn has a question, and I'll bet it's not about Wally Edge. Hi, Bernadette. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Yeah, just a question about David Sampson. I wonder if he's listed on the witness list as testifying. He was so involved, and yet he was able to enter a quick guilty plea on
the other charge,
the flights
yes,
to South Carolina.
Right. And for people who don't know that detail, David Sampson, who was really Chris Christie's number one person at Port Authority, that would be the correct characterization, and Andrea, right? David Sampson has pleaded guilty because there was a deal for an airline to set up a special flight for him to go back and forth between New Jersey and I guess his vacation home in South Carolina. And it was considered, Nancy, a corrupt deal, right?
Yeah, he has been indicted on federal bribery charges, and the CEO of United Airlines, the largest airline in the world, was forced to resign over this deal. So that hasn't come to court yet. But to answer the caller, yes, David Sampson is on the list of potential witnesses. That doesn't mean every one of these witnesses is going to be called, but he is on the list.
Bernadette, are you asking because you think Sampson holds the key to a certain piece of truth here?
Well, David Sampson is a smart lawyer who is probably more aware than many of the people here involved of the illegality of so much of what they were doing. And he seems to have skirted. He did go in and enter a guilty plea quickly. So I was under the impression that his case was pretty much over. And I think he's behind a lot of different schemes that went on throughout the state of New Jersey, not just Bridgegate, but a number of other questionable incidents,
right,
that they were involved in.
And Bernadette, I'm going to leave it there for time. But Nancy, I guess my question about that would be, does Sampson have any incentive to dish on Christie or reveal any other truths that he may know because he's not a Bridgegate defendant. So it's not like Wildstein, who made a plea deal in exchange for cooperating with prosecutors. Sampson was already, you know, accused of something else, that bribery case with United Airlines. But he doesn't seem to stand to get more lenient treatment on that or anything by revealing any secrets he may hold about Bridgegate. Or am I missing something?
Well, it is the same U.S. Attorney's Office that's prosecuting him. So I'm not quite sure how that works legally, but it seems to me, you know, facing a sentence and possible time in a federal prison, and at his, you know, age, he might be able to work out some kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. You know, right. And he is very key to this. I mean, it would be very, you know, illuminating to hear him on the witness stand speaking about this, because he was, you know, the belief is that he had breakfast with Governor Christie regularly, and that much of their communication was by phone and in person. And, you know, there a paper trail linking the two of them in terms of all of the Port Authority dealings in the Bridgegate case has never really emerged. And, you know, so we are eager mm-hmm. to hear what David Sampson has to say.
Yeah, but, Brian, if I can just add to that, I mean, the case is not about what David Sampson has to say about Chris Christie. And the prosecution has no incentive to call him for that. Now, the defense might. But the prosecution simply wants to point to what Bridget Kelly and what Bill Baroni allegedly did.
Right.
Now,
because they're on trial. But with respect to the defense of Bill Baroni and Bridget Kelly, they might want to make Christie look as in charge of this as possible, because then their clients look more like just pawns rather than masterminds.
Right, exactly. And they've started to do that. For example, last week, Pat Foy, who is the New York-appointed executive director of the Port Authority, under cross-examination, was asked about – so he did a so-called investigation of Bridgegate, in which he only interviewed three people, not including David Wildstein, not including Bill Baroni, not including anybody who'd actually organized it, just the poor bridge engineers who had to carry it out. And he was asked, why didn't you interview David Wildstein? And he acknowledged under a cross-examination it was because Christie protected him. But then, quite startlingly, David Wildstein last week, under direct examination by prosecutors, was talking about, you know, there was a very elaborate scheme to use Port Authority resources, to use things like flags that had flown over the World Trade Center on the 10th anniversary of 9/11 and then were signed by Chris Christie and David Sampson. Things like that were given out as perks to Democratic mayors who they thought might endorse. And not only were they given out as perks, but they were very carefully tracked in Trenton, beginning as early as October 2011 on an Excel spreadsheet. But David Wildstein said on direct examination from prosecutors, did you discuss this plan with anybody in Trenton? And he said, yes, I discussed this favors for endorsements plan with Governor Christie.
Huh.
So, you know, there are signs pointing to so many people above the level of the defendants on trial, not just David Sampson, not just Chris Christie, but also Bill Stepien, who was Christie's campaign manager and is now the national field director for Trump. His name has come up quite a bit. And, you know, the evidence, the prosecution may not try to be building a case against these people because they're not on trial, but the evidence that is coming out is that they knew and directed many of this, and in fact also directed David Wildstein to use his personal email so that he could keep it secret from us. Exactly that.
Well, that leads to another thing that I found really interesting from the trial last week, according to the reporting, and maybe you can clear this up, which is that both the mayor of Fort Lee, Sokolich, who was the political victim of the lane closures as payback for him not endorsing Christie for re-election, And Foy, Governor Cuomo's appointee to the Port Authority, who is the rival of the Christie people, both Sokolich and Foy, with no interest in helping Governor Christie because they liked him, admitted that they lied once Bridgegate became public to try to cover for Christie or for the whole scheme. And like Sokolich said, no, I don't think this had anything to do with political payback. Did I get that right?
Right. So what happened was Sokolich initially, both in private emails and in letters that he sent to the Port Authority, said, why am I being punished? So he clearly understood the lane closures to be retaliation. In mid-November, so this is after Christie has been reelected governor, he wrote a letter. And as the case is really heating up, he wrote a letter to the editor of the Star-Ledger saying, this is not political retaliation. And he was asked, when were you lying? And he said, well, I was lying when I wrote that letter to the editor because I was petrified of what Christie might do to me. And his testimony was very moving because he said, look, I'm a local mayor. I need approvals. I have this development project that has been 45 years in the making. I didn't know what the DEP could do. I don't know what the DOT could do. I saw what they did in the traffic jams, and I was just too scared. So his reasons are a little bit different from the reason in Pat Foy's case. He is the executive director of the Port Authority, appointed by Cuomo, and he's the one who sent out the initial email reversing the closure, saying they were hasty, ill-advised, illegal, a threat to public safety. And then he turned around, and he said, well, I'm going to go along with the Port Authority saying it's a traffic study, which he clearly knew it wasn't. Evidence was presented on the stand hinting that there was intervention from Albany, i.e. from Governor Cuomo or his top aides, who thought that they could get something out of this for New York by keeping quiet, by going along with the cover story that it was a traffic study. Evidence was introduced that they thought that they could get more money for the Red Hook container terminal and some other things that Governor Cuomo wanted for his political reasons.
It shows how complex politics can be, because if we assume from that story that both Governor Cuomo and Mayor Sokolich were acting in the interest of their constituents, what they legitimately believe to be the interest of their constituents, getting that you just described for New York, Sokolich getting these things approved and not being the subject of more retribution by Christie, not for themselves personally, but for the people of Fort Lee, for the people of New York State. In pursuit of that, they covered up this heinous thing.
Yeah, but it's a little different because Sokolich was really the victim of, a pretty horrible scheme here. I mean, Fort Lee is 3 square miles. It is a very small town. I think it has population 35,000. He was not somebody with a lot of power here, whereas Governor Cuomo was. And it's a complicated story. I won't go into the whole thing, but, he had his own political reasons for wanting to extract this money from the Port Authority, just as Christie had his political reasons for wanting to extract things for projects that would benefit him politically. So I'm not sure that it's sort of equal, mm-hmm. because if you look mm-hmm. at the power dynamic here.
All right. One more call as we get week one review and week two preview of the Bridgegate trial from our Andrea Bernstein and Nancy Solomon and Roy in Fairfield. You're on WNYC. Roy, you're interested in this from across two state lines?
Oh, yes. I've been watching this because it's both at the state and the national level. I'm just curious if we know, based on the testimony so far, that Christie is actually criminally involved in this or not.
Well, Nancy, criminally involved and involved might be two different things because he wasn't charged.
Right. He has not been charged, and it is, not clear whether he will be charged. I mean, there's also talk. I mean, there could be political consequences. There's talk right now among Democrats in the legislature about whether they will seek impeachment proceedings.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know whether they have a case. I would say if he was directing, if it is proven in court that he was directing this scheme, just the pure Bridgegate scheme of blocking access to the bridge to cause a traffic jam to punish for political retaliation. I don't know why, you know, if they've got evidence of that, that he couldn't be held criminally responsible as much as Bridget Ann Kelly and Bill Baroni are.
But then why didn't they charge him?
Well, go ahead, Andrea.
What Fishman said, because
the U.S. attorney.
That's the U.S. attorney. And I asked him this way back at the initial press conference where he announced the indictment. So I said, well, if the criminal scheme was to benefit Governor Christie, how can Governor Christie not be charged in the crime? And he said, well, we only charged where we felt that there was evidence to warrant it. So for whatever reasons, they have concluded that their case is stronger against these underlings than it would be against Governor Christie. Now, one of the big charges against Bridget Kelly is that she directed the cover-up. And her defense lawyers are using their defense of that to point straight to Governor Christie to say, no, this wasn't Bridget Ann Kelly, as they describe her, a Catholic mother of four who commuted 2 hours each way so she could get a better paying job to support her family. So what they're saying is, no, Bridget Kelly wasn't organizing this cover-up. It was organized straight from the top, straight to the highest elected officials in New Jersey, is what they've said. So they have a very strong incentive to name and implicate Chris Christie in court.
When will Kelly testify?
Well, they've said she will testify. She will be part of the defense case. So we're looking at probably 5 more weeks of the trial, they say. It is moving along at a pretty brisk clip. So sometime several weeks down the line, we will hear her story and we'll hear Bill Baroni's story. He said that he will testify in his own defense as well.
And meanwhile, it's not going to be boring this week as David Wildstein is on the stand again and then more to come. So WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, who's been in the courtroom during week one, she'll be going in and out. And Matt Katz, who's there today for us, will be going in and out and overseeing the whole ball of wax. Nancy Solomon, managing editor of New Jersey Public Radio. Thank you both.
Thanks, Brian. And the True Junkies can follow us on Twitter for the minute updates from the courtroom.
Do you have a hashtag for this specifically?
It's at Andrea WNYC, and Matt's is at MattKatz00.
Okay. Those are his handles. And is there your handles? Is there no particular Bridgegate? Are you using a hashtag Bridgegate?
We're using the hashtag Bridgegate,
okay.
Yes.
There you go. Thanks, Andrea. Thanks, Nancy.